show us thy glory. Show us thy glory. Lord, you've shown it to others in other generations. Others have seen, others have beheld. Others have walked in the glory of thy revival power. Others have seen thy spirit poured out upon all flesh. Lord, show us thy glory. Bring it into our generation. Bring it into our place. Let our hearts be so filled with desire and hungerings and thirstings that thou wilt, in honor to thy word, pour out upon us. For you said you'd open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Let that be so deep a desire that you will have to release them to us and show us thy glory. Show us thy mercy. Pour out of thy spirit in our day, in our land, in the place, Lord, that we can see. In the place, Lord, that we can walk in. In the place, Lord, that we can glory as we see thy hand of mercy outstretched. As we see, Lord, the glory of the Lord doing his wonder work, his glory work, his beauty work. Show us, O God. Show us, O Master. Let there come to us the manifestation of the power of God. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your grace. Pour out your mercy. In floods. In floods upon us, O Lord. Thy glory, O Lord, show us thy glory, O Lord, pour out of thy spirit thy flood of great mercy, and show us thy glory, O Lord. Your Bibles. As you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here in, where are we, Marietta? Roswell? Or, I don't know quite where it is, actually. Someplace around in there. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to Acts 2:1-4. Let's just take it all in. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is the way the Holy Spirit chose to come. That's the way God chose to manifest him. Could have come as a dove again. He could have come in any one of the types, or a new one. But he chose to come in this way. And remember that God is always the same. He says, I am the same, I change not. And as he came in this way, I think he wants us to remember that this is how he likes to come. He wasn't forced to come this way. He wasn't convinced to come this way by the counsels of men. This is the way he chose because he wanted it, didn't he? And I believe that there's much in this that he would love to come again and again and again and again the same way. What those symbols stand for, what he was really saying behind those symbols. So we're going to look at it a little bit. Realize that it's not only then, but it's now. I remember when the Holy Spirit came and the revival came in Argentina. The first breakthrough, the first night that God moved, on a little group of people, he came as a rushing wind that went from that corner to that corner and swept everyone into it. And that's the way he came that time. And they were all flattened and speaking in other tongues in a very immediate while. Because that's the way he chose to come. But I don't believe it's necessary to see a wind. You can't unless it's filled with dust anyway. Or to hear it. But what he's really saying to us. I don't believe he's any less great now than then. I don't believe he's lost some of his power. I don't believe when he first came, he came with such an excess of power that he never did quite generate enough again. But there wasn't quite enough left over to ever do it again. He could just do it once. And that he's had to save up for a whole eternity to have enough to save up for that one mighty burst. And after that, we have to sort of take what's left. You know, all's all past and over, those mighty things. Now you just sort of get the what blessings left over. But I don't believe that's so, do you? I hope you don't. I can't believe that. I can't believe that of God, can you? Like he was saving it up and saving it up and saving it up, and finally it was a mighty pool of blessing, and then they let the dam break and all of it rushed out. And then there's just a little river left. We can just come to that little river and drink and have a good time. And that's all there is. I don't think it's that way. I don't believe he came in such mighty power to say, see, I show what I can do, but I want to let you know I'll never do it again. I want you to know that once is enough. I want you to know that I'm tired of working miracles and doing mighty works. It's all up to you from now on. There are people who believe that, you know. They'll even say, it's all over, it's all over. The days of the apostles, that's it. He went back to heaven? No, he didn't. Jesus said he came to stay, didn't he? Said he came to abide with us, didn't he? I don't think he's gone back. I don't think he's lost his power. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe God is the unchanging one. I have the feeling that there's a change, all right, but it's in us, not in him. It's in our faith and in our expectations and in our seeking, and not on God's side. Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. To the Jews, that was the time when the law was given, wasn't it? But it was also the time when fire came down out of heaven, wasn't it? On Mount Sinai, smoke. And when the elders went up to meet with God, behold, there was a big fire, wasn't there? They were frightened by that fire. That was the day of Pentecost, and the law was given. Well, when he came the second day on the day of Pentecost, again the law was given. But this time wasn't written in stone, it was written in flesh. That I will write the law in their hearts, didn't he? I will write it in hearts of flesh and not in tables of stone. But that's what he came for, wasn't it? That's what Pentecost is all about. That's really what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. That from that day on, you have a lawgiver right inside. And he writes down in your heart what you can do and what you can't do. And he lets you know he doesn't like it when you do what you're not supposed to. And you don't have to go and read it and say, well, show me in the Ten Commandments. If he wants to, he'll write 1,010 commandments right on your own heart. You'll say, the others can do it, but you can't. That's what he came for. He was a lawgiver, wasn't he? And that was the day of Pentecost. That was the 50th day after they left Egypt. Crossed over the Red Sea was Sinai. And now Pentecost was fully come. Fully come. He didn't say partially, meaning that there's going to come another time, you know, when it would be fully come. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't leave us in a partial. When he came on the day of Pentecost, it was a fullness. And they were all filled, it says, doesn't it? That talks about fullness, doesn't it? They were all filled. The day of Pentecost, when the law came and the fire came, there was a marvelous display at Sinai, wasn't there? There was a noise of a trumpet, thunderings and lightning, storm was there, fire was there. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was also a display, wasn't there? It was a different display, but it was fire. It was a stormy wind, wasn't it? There was no gentle zephyr. It was a fullness. It was a time of law giving. There was also a display of the power of God. Just as that other was the beginning of the Jewish nation, now the Holy Spirit comes and begins a new work in the world, the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. It was also the Feast of First Fruits, wasn't it? It was a feast of first fruits. When they brought their first ears of corn and the first grain and the firstlings that were there, they're all brought in at that day. That was the beginning of harvest. But it seems to me, I grew up on a farm. I'm trying to remember. I don't want to be mistaken. But it seems to me that as the harvest developed, the greater harvest came after the first fruits. Isn't that right? The first fruits wasn't the big harvest. The big harvest came later, didn't it? Well, look back at the first fruits. In the first 80 years, over half of the known world was evangelized. Over half were Christians. First fruits. Did you know that even way before the first century is over, even way up into Britain, the gospel was? Did you know that it went further and faster than the armies of Rome? And the armies of Rome never got into the upper regions of the mountainous regions of Britain, such as what is now Scotland and what is now Wales. fact, the armies of Rome never did get in some of those places. But the gospel did. Way back there. Way back there. And there's writings about it way back there. Writing, one of them wrote about it in the first century was Tertullian. How the gospel had gone farther than the armies of Caesar. Into Britain and into Iberian Peninsula. And over into Persia. Down into India. This was all the first century, mind you. And that was the first fruits. What a shame that all the glory was worn out the first century. What a shame. Or was it? No, not really. But if that's the first fruit, I wonder what the end harvest will be. If that's what it is, at the ripening and the heat of the summer sun, and the summer rains, and all the processes that it goes through till it's all ripe. I wonder what it would be then. If it was ripe in Jesus' time, what will the final harvest be? But he won't have to come again for it. He has already fully come. He has already fully come. Then he made the statement, and I believe it, that we can have revival whenever we meet God's conditions for it. And I have seen that. I have seen it on more than one occasion. Going into situations, I have seen that too. I believe that. I believe that he hasn't been taken away. When we get hungry enough and thirsty enough and when we get desirous enough, when our heart cries out, give me those living waters, I want them more than I do the water from my tap. I want those living waters more than I want. We say Coca-Cola. Any of our refreshing drinks. We want him more than anything else. More than anything else, we want him. The Feast of First Fruits. He came to stay. He came to be with us. We should look to him. Let's look at his display a little bit, how he came. First, he came with a sound. Didn't come silent. He came with a great sound, not a small sound, not a whisper. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. A howling, they say, when those great winds go by, they're like a freight train going by. I see by that, first of all, that he didn't intend to be quiet. When the Holy Spirit came, he came with a great sound. Now, I know a lot of people want him to come, but they want him to come silently. Let's don't make a noise. Everything decent and in order, please. And it's indecent to make a noise in church. It frightens a preacher. And it absolutely panics the rich members. We must not make a noise in church. But that's not the way he came, is it? He came with a dramatic sound, didn't he? It's interesting to watch. It isn't just today. Oh, no. Back during Wesley's day and George Fox's day. Here in our land, in the day of George Whitfield, oh, how the ministers and the vicars of the Church of England, what they wrote about these noisome enthusiasts. But they even had raw noises at church, and they got enthusiastic. I wonder if they ever looked up the word enthusiastic. It comes from the word entheos, which means in God. But it was a terrible word for them. Enthusiastic. It was a terrible thing to have enthusiasm. And they made noises. Someone would shout. Someone would groan. Someone would fall on their faces and cry out for mercy. You can't do that to church. Oh, my. And they wrote long articles, deep and wide, they did, about how terrible it was. But I think if I look back to the day of Pentecost, the Lord himself made the first noise, didn't he? Before they made any, he made it. And he came as a mighty sound of a rushing wind, a mighty wind. So the first thing I see is that if he's going to really come, he's not going to be quiet. He's not going to be silent. He's not going to be all shut up within. And the best that can be mustered is a sweet, gentle, praise the Lord. And that's about the best. You're not going to come that. Second, I find that wind was the strangest wind you can ever find. It didn't come from the north, or the south, or the east, or the west, or any other quarter. It came from above. It was a downdraft, if you please. It was a downdraft. And it filled the whole place, that wind did. If it come from one side, it would probably blown the house over. But it came right down from above and somehow went through the roof without crashing it through. A strict downdraft that came from heaven. It didn't come from any other direction. So nobody could say it was an accident. Nobody could say it was a tornado that came out of the desert. Nobody could say it was a wind. You know, they have those strong Siroccos, they call them over there. They had a strong Sirocco that came. No, no, no. This came straight down from above. And no way they could mistake its origin. And you know, when he comes, when he really comes, you don't mistake where he came from. It's nothing that's going to come from the north or the south or the east or the west. When we were in Argentina, God had begun to move so preciously and so gloriously, and people were caught up in the presence of God. And they said the wind came from the accordion. They were all hypnotized by the accordion. And it was the music that did it. So we said, all right, we will not have any music. We put the accordion away. We had no music, we just sang a cappella. And we did that for 9 months and had glorious time, precious time. We didn't need that. It was a help. But he doesn't need any help. So we put it aside. He came just the same. just as wonderful, just as glorious. In fact, I remember when God first got me on the accordion. Oh, the Spirit of God was moving gloriously in City Bell. And our musician wasn't there. And we just had to sing a certain hymn. If I remember right, it might have been Tell Me the Story of Jesus, but I could be mistaken. It's been so long. And we didn't know that one. That wasn't known in our congregation. We just had to sing it. And we started out our service, and it was dead, and the Spirit didn't move. We waited a half hour, and I knew we had to sing that song, and forgotten why our musician was gone. So I knew I had to play it, and I couldn't play the accordion, so with one finger on one side and one finger on the other side, I played it. And before I got through the first verse, all heaven came down. We never did sing it. I just played it a few times. Played at it would be a better way to say it. And oh, the glory of God that was there. And that happened the second time. And the same thing happened. And it happened the third time, and our musician was there. We had a song that nobody knew, so I said, I asked her if she would play it. So she picked up the accordion and very beautifully played it. Nothing happened. I knew what God wanted. Nothing happened. She played it again. And again, and again, and again, we were tired out and sat it down. Nothing happened. So I picked it up, put it on with two fingers before I got through the first verse. God was there. He was just letting us know that it was He that was going to do it and not our great skill. Not our great wonderful works. It wasn't going to blow from the east, and it wasn't going to blow from the west, nor the north, nor the south. It was going to come from heaven. That's the way He's going to do it. Sometimes we like to anticipate. Sometimes we think it's going to be this way and that way. Oh, so many times. I've come to service all prepared. It's going to be this way. And all my notes and all my song and everything else goes out the window and He comes His way. I'm used to that, though. I don't feel bad. I used to think, be all discouraged. Well, what's the matter? I guess I was out of touch. I guess I missed it. No, He's just going to do it His way. He didn't even want me to anticipate too much. Oh, He'll bless me and let me have a good time, but when He's ready to move, He'll do it His way. And that's the way it's going to be. Try to anticipate it. Comes from above. Comes down from heaven. Furthermore, He comes as a stormy, mighty, tempestuous wind. But not destructive, if you please. There was no destruction wrought, was there? None at all. But He doesn't come all that gentle. It is terrible. It is terrible. My wife and family were in the path of a tornado down in Argentina. It came roaring and rushing right straight towards the house. and jumped over the house and hit the next house and just scattered it. Took the top of the trees over the house, twisted them all around, but didn't take one shingle off the house. It wasn't destructive. But oh, what a tempestuous wind it was. How awful. How terrible. And when he blows as a storm into the heart, how everything bows before him. Have you seen those great monarchs of the forest? When those heavy gusts of wind come, how they bend and bow and yield. And sometimes topple over, don't they? Sometimes they can't resist it. I have seen where those great winds have plowed through, and there wasn't a tree left standing. They were all down. And I've seen when that wind has blown, there's not been one person that could stand against it. I've seen a whole congregation fall in the power of God and be there for hours. As he blows as a mighty wind and everything falls before him. But no destruction. No destruction. It is glorious. It is wonderful. He comes as a mighty wind. He comes in the power of that wind. He comes in the glory of that wind. He comes like a hurricane. He comes like a tornado. It's a symbol of God. How did God answer Job? Out of a tornado, wasn't it? A whirlwind. But I don't think it was one of those little dust devils we see around. No way. No way. It was like a tornado that stood in one place. And out of that tornado, there came the voice of the Almighty. And Job, I don't think Job would have said this if it had been just a little dust devil. Just a little whirlwind that goes for 3-4 minutes and disappears. I don't think Job would have said, I've seen you and I tremble and I will answer no more. I'll put my hand over my mouth, keep my mouth quiet. No, I don't think it was like that, do you? It was a mighty tornado. It was a mighty whirlwind as it was whipping around and around and around, and out of it came a terrible voice. Job fell before it. So you want to ask me some questions, Job? Came the voice out of the tornado. I'm here. Answer me. Let me ask you a question first. Where were you when I made the earth? Poor Job. Poor Job. Those questions. Oh, so steeped in irony. So steeped in irony, you? Were you there when we set the councils up how we were to hang the earth on nothing? Were you listening in when the morning stars sang together the day? That voice roared out of the tornado. The day we created the earth. Poor Job. It's a wonder he lived through it, isn't it? But that wonderful wind is not destructive. It won't destroy his people. But believe me, it is no gentle, sweet, little, passing zephyr. There's Jesus. No way. No way. Oh, I tell you, when that anointing comes, it's a mighty fire. I told you about George Whitfield. He lived by the anointing. He had to preach 2-3 times a day just to keep alive. He was always sick. They'd have to help him up into his little pulpit. And he'd start to preach and the anointing would come and he'd be turned alive and be full of vigor, of all kinds of vigor, plenty. And then he's through preaching. And the day he died, they tried to get him into his pulpit. If you just get me there, I'll be all right.
But they didn't get him there quick enough, so he died.
But if they got him there, he'd been filled with that life and vigor. Because it's a mighty wind. It's a mighty power. It's a glorious power. The anointing, wonderful Spirit of God. Out of the wind. Or wasn't it the prophet Elijah in the cave? God came to him first as a mighty wind, didn't he? And if you read it, it says a wind that broke the rocks. That is a wind, isn't it? I've heard of winds blowing down trees. I've heard of winds carrying away houses. I had a pastor acquaintance that was caught in a tornado and suddenly found himself driving along at the heights of the telephone poles and found himself later gently deposited out in the field, right side up. But I've never heard of a wind that would break rocks. That was a wind, wasn't it? And that was just getting the prophet ready to listen. That was just the beginning of the firework, shall we say. That was just getting him ready to be able to receive the voice of God. Came deep into his spirit. The wind. God will have manifestation, and really, really, the manifestation is not the end. It's only a preparation. He comes with fire, and he comes with great demonstration and great display. He comes with noise, he comes with mighty wind, but really, that's not his end. And when people make it an end, they will always miss it. They'll lose God, they'll lose the presence of God. Many people get what we used to call power habits. They got so blessed when they get a hand up and tremble, so they always got to get a hand up and tremble, you know. Or they get so blessed when they begin... and so every time, they got to start wheezing. They think that's it. But remember, God wasn't in the wind. That God wasn't in that. That was just getting them ready for it. Getting them bowed down. Getting things prepared. After that, then the Spirit came. And many people get power habits. What God used to get them ready, they've always got to go back and do over again. That's not saying God would never do it again. If you need to get ready, maybe he'll do it again. But that wasn't God. That was God's preparation. The wind. That wonderful wind of God. It's a symbol. Or remember Ezekiel. He called for the wind, didn't he? And he called for it to blow upon those dry bones. He called for it to bring life, didn't he? To life them. They'd gotten together now and they'd filled up, but they were lifeless. So he called for the wind. And the wind didn't just blow around in a great display. The wind left life, didn't it? It left the life for those, that army that he raised up. And that's what he does. He comes to give us life, to life us. To life us abundantly. Breathe upon us
until we're filled with life. But don't ever think that He comes to manifest death. He doesn't come to display death. When a baby is born, the first thing the mother, the first thing the doctor, the first thing the attendant wants to see and hear is a cry, isn't it? That's living. They want to see life manifested, don't they? And yet somehow we've got into the fashion that God wants to see death manifested in His church. And we all come, regardless of what age, even little children, be quiet. God's house. Don't wiggle. All the time Mother Nature punishing him in the ribs and saying, wiggle. Poor kids. Don't sing too loud. Don't say amen. Don't enjoy it. Don't cry out. Don't call for prayer. Don't manifest anything. Act like you're dead and God will be pleased. But that's not the way He first came, is it? My, wouldn't some of our dear, highly eminent ministry be shocked if they were on the day of Pentecost? Or if it repeated in their church? Wouldn't they be shocked? I doubt if they lived through it. Really, I do. The shock would be too great. Maybe that's why God doesn't. He's kind. But He didn't intend to manifest death. He manifested life. And He wants to give life. And I believe when He came that way, that glorious, marvelous, wonderful coming, we have a right to look back to it and say, that's the way things should be. That's the way things should become. And may God give us that life-giving breath of heaven. It's not worked up from the north, south, east, or west, and it certainly doesn't come from below, but it comes from above. And it sets my feet to dancing. And it sets my heart to rejoicing. And it sets my lips to praising God. And it transforms me and makes me alive. Oh, wonderful Spirit. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Spirit of God. For the gift of Thy wonderful love. Lord, I pray that You will bring to us that wonderful wind of heaven. But Lord, we will not try to emulate and be like unto those that think that You want death manifested, but You want life. Life. In Him was light, and the light was the life of man. You came to set us alive. To set a life within us that would never die. So great, so glorious, so wonderful. That not even the grave could hold us. You came to set us with a life. Lord, a life that was greater than the powers of death. You want us to be so filled with that living life, that glorious life, that sickness over and over again will be driven away because life is within us. That life-giving power, that life-giving Spirit dwelling, living, ruling, glorying within us. Oh, let thy winds blow, O God, and glorify thy name. And cause us, Lord, to be free to manifest life. And yet you're not the manifestation. You are greater than any or all manifestation, above and beyond it all. But we will manifest life, for thou hast given us life. We thank you, Lord, and bless your name. Light in him was light, and the light was the life of man. In him was light. In him was light. And the light was the life of man. God is light. God is life, and God is fire. Hallelujah. Is he in you? Then light and life and fire. We'll get to fire next week, maybe. We haven't got there yet. Just let the wind blow this week. Let it bake up a few rocks. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be wonderful if a few rocks got broken? Shall we stand and sing? In him was life. In him was life. And the light was the light of man. In him was life. In him was life. And the light was the light of man. No, in him was life. In him was life, and the light was the light of man. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the glory that you want to shed upon us, that you have given us. You have come. You are here. You have not changed. Oh, lift our faith, our expectancy, our hungerings, our thirstings. Visit us again and again and again, and bring us closer. Let that wind increase. Let us come closer, O Lord, to that wonderful vortex that flows out of heaven down to our little planet, until we're caught away, even as Elijah was caught away into heaven. Catch us away into thyself, Lord, with thy mighty wings, away into thy glory and thy power and thy mercy and thy love. I ask in Jesus' name. Go with each one. Bless each one. Cover each one. Bring, Lord, a faith to each one. And let your winds, O mighty winds, blow. I ask in Jesus' name.